From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The Japanese government is mobilizing a huge relief effort to help the people hit by the earthquake and tsunami in the country's northeast. NPR's Rob Gifford is on his way to the disaster zone and reports the initial estimate of more than 1,000 dead is bound to rise sharply.
Fighters said they were hit by tank shells, aerial bombardment, and heavy artillery at the oil port of Ras Lanuf. The pro-Gaddafi forces have stepped up the intensity of their barrages in recent days, pushing the front line farther east. The rebels appear to be running low on weapons, with new volunteers showing up daily with nothing more than knives, looking desperately for a weapon to join the fight. The severe military advantage of the pro-Gaddafi forces has given fresh urgency to calls for a no-fly zone, but the wheels of international diplomacy continue to turn slowly. The Arab League is debating the issue today, after which the focus will return to Europe, the United Nations, and Washington. So far, only France has been outspoken about the need to intervene, including airstrikes against Gaddafi's military machine if necessary. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
That report, obviously, on the Arab League's decision to call on the UN Security Council to impose a no-fly zone on Libya, an idea that's been endorsed by Britain and France. And now to our report from Japan and NPR's Rob Gifford.
The earthquake epicenter being offshore gave news helicopters time to get airborne and capture the tsunami on film as it headed towards the shore. Cars, trees, airplanes, whole buildings were washed before the wall of water and mud. Some areas are still flooded. Where water levels have receded, a thick layer of sludge still carpets the ground. Power and phone reception have been cut, while hundreds of people lined up outside the few stores open to buy food and water. Many residents in the main city of the region, Sendai, spent last night outdoors for fear of aftershocks or because their homes had been too badly damaged. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Osaka, Japan.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates paid a brief visit to Bahrain today while thousands of pro-democracy demonstrators marched on the Royal Palace. Gates says governments facing popular uprisings need to move quickly toward democratic reforms or risk giving Iran a chance to exploit their instability. Cuba's media report a guilty verdict for an American contractor for crimes against the state and a sentence of 15 years in prison. After a two-day trial in Havana, a Cuban court says Alan Gross was working on a subversive program funded by the U.S. government. He was arrested more than a year ago. A reminder about springing forward, daylight saving time begins in most of the country at 2 a.m. Sunday morning. You'll lose an hour in the process as you set your clock ahead. This is NPR. A deadly bus accident in the Bronx today. Officials say 13 people are dead, 8 are seriously injured. NPR's Brian Reed is at the site.
I'm looking at a tour bus that has flipped over, and it has run into the side of a signpost, and the signpost has cut it like a knife almost all the way entirely through the bus. And police here are swarming the scene, and the driver told them that a tractor trailer clipped the bus and caused it to flip. It later fled the scene, and they're looking for that tractor trailer right now.
NPR's Brian Reed in New York City. The Wisconsin Capitol in Madison is once again a gathering point for pro-labor demonstrators. They say they're fighting back after Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker signed a new law yesterday that curbs public workers' collective bargaining rights. Farmers have driven tractors to the Capitol and are surrounding it. Demonstrators say they're now focusing on recalling from office Republican lawmakers who pushed through the law. In his weekly address, President Obama discussed issues surrounding equality for women. He says he'll continue the fight to help.